Let's commit this hour to the Lord, shall we? Father, we thank you for bringing us to 2023. Some of us have more questions than we would like to have at this juncture, but you've given us the one answer we need, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And his compassions for us, we've just been meditating on this whole Advent season of his arrival to meet our greatest need, forgiveness and eternal life. So his compassions that we've just been rehearsing give us confidence in 2023 that it will be wonderful in the most enduring terms. So we go forward in faith, trembling perhaps. We go forward with joy, by choice perhaps. But we go forward with confidence into 23 because of you. And now we've set aside this time to focus specifically on you and your word and to hear from you. And we invite you to speak as you do so regularly to us with power, with your presence, from your word, by your Holy Spirit. And we ask you for the boldness and the courage to listen and respond in all the ways that would please you. We thank you for this time. I thank you for each one here. I thank you for all the ways the tapestries of their lives have been, I don't know what the word is, not printed, but woven, so that we here today are here by your appointment and by your love and by your deep favor. So we come to you with anticipation and expectation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesse.
Thank you, Paul. As Paul mentioned, we have a special service planned for you today. Our speaker, the message, will be the Apostle Paul. And so I invite you to have your Bibles open to the book of Ephesians. Throughout our time together, we're going to read through the entire letter to the Ephesians. There will be different men coming up to read different passages, followed by different times of response. We'll have some singing, some corporate prayers, some prepared prayers, communion. And as we work our way through, I hope you'll be blessed as we hear directly from the Word of God. So we'll start in Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Please stand, and we're going to sing now some songs of blessing. The first will be a setting of that first part of Ephesians 1. Come, praise and glorify.
Yeah. From the ESV, Ephesians, the second chapter. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in which the whole structure, being joined together, grows in a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I was born the the oldest of four brothers and a sister on a farm up north side of Richland County. And my life was just like that, everybody around me. It centered around the family, in my case, the farm, the community, and the church. Mama said that she had me in church when I was 6 weeks old, and nothing's changed since until COVID came along. I didn't think I was a bad guy. I just did what the rest of us did. Go to church, you read about the Ten Commandments, and things like that. But I always wondered if I'd go to heaven when I died, and that haunted me. I remember a pastor in our church preaching a week-long revival. I remember him thinking that he really did a good job. But still, I wasn't sure. Went to a layman's retreat up the other side of Greenville, and that night found myself in a dorm room with several other guys. I thought we were just in there chewing the fat. And a man said something that I took exception to. I thought he said something about he was good enough to go to heaven. And I challenged him on that. He said, whoa, wait a minute, Christy. I didn't say I was good enough to go to heaven. And that same pastor that preached the revival in my church said, Christy, would you like to know that you can go to heaven when you die? I said, man, I'm sitting here. I sure would. And he took me down the old Roman road. He helped me to understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He helped me to understand that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And that gift is received by prayer. And he said, Christy, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior right now? I said, yes, sir, I sure would. He said, would you mind if I lead you in a prayer to do just that? I said, yes, sir, and we did. I confessed to God that I was a sinner, and I was not worthy of heaven, and I admitted that the only way for me to go to heaven is by trusting Jesus. And that I did right then. Well, I remember being a little disappointed because I'd heard stories that made you think when you were saved, you just kind of float up through the ceiling in some euphoric way. But then as that weekend went on and we sang good solid hymns of the faith and heard some good preaching, I realized that God had changed me. That Sunday night when I got home, I walked into our house and Carolyn was in bed reading, as is her habit to this day. And I had not opened my mouth, and she looked up at me and she said, what in the world has come over you? It was physically obvious. I don't know what it was, but that was her response. But I began to understand that I was looking at the world through different eyes now. I was not perfect. I did not rid myself of all bad habits, but I began to change. And God let me see that there were others that needed that same thing. And I found myself surrounded by mature, godly men through the Gideon's International. And a navigator came by our way and discipled me and challenged me, as I did you just now, to read the Word of God. And that has changed me. And I just am amazed at how God is working in me through His Word for His glory. And so here I am. And I'm here at this church at the invitation of our late brother, Dave Johnson, who so gently and kindly said, we'd love to have you at... It was the chapel at that time. And here we are.
We will be reading Ephesians chapter 3. But what I'd like to do is remind you that when we have finished reading this, we will have prayer in small groups, just a couple of people around you, praying in response to what Paul writes in Ephesians 3. So you may want to kind of have your antenna up to see what kinds of things he says, and then we can pray regarding those things afterwards. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll take about 5 minutes. Please just pray with someone nearby in response to the words of the Apostle Paul.
May I close with this. Father, thank you for the grace that you extended to Paul, who recognized himself as the chief of sinners. We thank you that your grace was the provision for his salvation. And not only that, the ministry that he exercised towards the Gentiles of his day, and the ministry that goes on now for centuries through his inspired words. Thank you for how he exalted your Son, and we ask you to use our lives in like manner. In Jesus' name, amen.
So now we're in chapter 4, Ephesians 4. And Paul begins to make it practical. Chapter 1, those incredible blessings through Christ. Chapter 2, salvation, not by works, but by grace, thank goodness. Chapter 3, picking one, to know, to comprehend, to understand, to be filled up with the love of Christ. Now the practical outworking of these things. Chapter 4. I'm going to read from a version that probably no one here has. So you look at your words and hear mine and you think, yeah, that helps, or no, I see a little bit better through that, or through the two of them combined. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live worthily of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you too were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he captured captives. He gave gifts to men. Now what is the meaning of he ascended, except that he also descended to the lower regions, namely the earth? He, the very one who descended, is also the one who ascended above all the heavens in order to fill all things. It was he who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, that is, to build up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. So we are no longer to be children, tossed back and forth by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of people who craftily carry out their deceitful schemes, but practicing the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each one does its part, the body grows in love. So I say this and insist in the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Because they are callous, they have given themselves over to indecency for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ like this, if indeed you heard about him and were taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. You were taught with reference to your former way of life to lay aside the old man who is being corrupted in accordance with deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man who has been created in God's image in righteousness and holiness that comes from truth. Therefore, having laid aside falsehood, each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. The one who steals must steal no longer. Rather, he must labor, doing good with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with the one who has need. You must not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for the building up of the one in need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You must put away every kind of bitterness, anger, wrath, quarreling, and evil, slanderous talk. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. We're now going to approach the table of communion. And communion, we often think of us vertically, But the Lord, in this passage, through the apostle, said communion is both vertical and horizontal. And that's why, toward the end here, it makes such a point of us living in grace toward one another. Not stealing, watch how we talk, for the building up of one another, let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, all of these things be put away from you, along with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving. Why? As Christ, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven each of us. So as we approach the table, I invite you to keep this passage open and let the Lord speak to you about any form of communion that might be presently hampered, that you might need to deal with. Because he came to forgive you of that, and he wants you to be forgiven of that and to forgive others of that. And the very real pictures of that forgiveness are the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. It was no small thing, as we read earlier, to have peace with God, was it? Could I have some of you help me with the communion? Christy and Sam, are you playing? Are you? Okay, you're up there, okay. Christy and Dad, Josh and Lindsay, could you help? Lindsay, would you give thanks for the body? And we'll slow it down just a little bit. And Dad, would you give thanks for the blood?
Lord, when we think of the time when you were going to the cross and hanging on the cross, and your body was pummeled and pierced and torn, and we don't really grasp the full extent of your suffering, but we thank you. Lord, we take this bread as a token of your body broken for us, and thank you for it. May our hearts lift in true worship to you as we think of these things. Amen.
And Father, as we take of these emblems of your body and your blood, we are reminded anew of what awful condition we were in your sight, that it took the blood of your dearly loved Son to make us acceptable in your sight. And we thank you that when it would cost you that much to rescue us, you were willing to pay that price, you Father and you Son. So we just bow anew in love and worship and renewed commitment to you. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
I invite you to stand, and we'll again sing and make melody to the Lord.
Then our of Zion, make us like swelling streams. Those who sow with seed while weeping shall come home with shouts of joy. In their arms a fruitful harvest, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us. And we
great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
So Ephesians chapter 6, the first 22 verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same thing, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Now let me pray some of this book of Ephesians over us. What a wonderful way to begin a new year, to soak our minds and hearts in this beautiful book from God's word. Seated with Christ, walking with Christ, and standing in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning that we have the gift of your word. Thank you for this beautiful letter from Paul to the church at Ephesus, and for the truth that's contained in this short letter. And especially today, Lord, I call out to you that we, as the Woodland Hills Community Church family, that we would be able to lay hold of your word afresh today, that we would find ourselves reminded that we're seated with you in heavenly places, and that we would be walking worthy of our calling. And Lord Jesus, that we would be standing firm in you. Especially today, Lord, I pray that in our families, as husbands, wives, fathers, children, Lord, that we would honor and magnify and obey you. I pray that our families would display your love for your creation, for the people that you created, Lord. I pray that each marriage relationship in our church family, Lord, would be strengthened in this coming year. I pray that each marriage would be a display of that triune beauty, that choreography of heaven, where you are displayed, Lord Jesus Christ, through marriages. Help husbands to love.
Help us to submit to one another. And Lord, help us, all of us, to obey our parents and to honor them. Lord, we also thank you for the admonishment in our workplace to work for your glory and not just to be men pleasers. Free us, Lord, from the idolatry of wanting to be glorified ourselves by pleasing men. And help us, Lord, in each thing we do, whatever our job is, whatever our role is, whether we're students or grown up and working or caring for others, that we would honor you and work and serve faithfully and diligently for you. And Lord, even now, as we begin a new year, we recognize again and declare our utter dependence on you. And we say, thank you for the armor that you've given us. It does seem like there's an evil day, and maybe we're in that evil day, and maybe everyone is in that evil day. And so we ask now that you would cause us to stand. I ask, Lord, that we would take each of those pieces of armor. Lord, each of them, things that you, Lord Jesus, have accomplished for us, and we take those on ourselves now. And even as I stand here, Lord, I lift up that shield of faith, faith in who you are and what you've done, in your victory over sin and over death, and I lift that shield of faith against the enemy's schemes against our church family. Especially protect the children here in our church family. Protect our pastors and leaders. I pray, Lord, that in this day that you would be seen in us, that we would be delighted if people could see and know about us that we have been together with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in our city, right here in this Woodland Hills community and beyond, to transform our lives and to shine through us to transform others. Would you do it, Lord, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Has this been enjoyable to you in the Lord? Well, the last two verses are our benediction. Peace be to the brethren, that's us, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. May that be us. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.